This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. It's Thursday, February 20th, 2020. I'm Andy Bueller, Scorebook Live reporter. With me, Todd Millis, senior reporter in Tacoma, and analyst Dan Dickow, whose location I've stopped guessing as he jets around for his college basketball TV analyst duties. Thanks for joining me, guys, as always. How are we doing this week?
Absolutely. Things are great. I mean, it's hard to believe it's now like loser out playoff games. State tournament is what, I think 10 days away, if my math is right, which doesn't always seem to be right. But looking forward to wrapping up this high school basketball season.
Yeah, like Dan said, these games are meaningful. So it's a fun type of year.
And we've got a lot to talk about today on the show. We're going to do so as the winter sports postseason heats up. We're going to talk to you about some breaking news about how you'll be able to watch the state basketball championships. Todd's going to give us, he's going to go dissect the top storylines entering MAC Classic. And then in our weekly Coach's Corner, a segment where Dan goes one-on-one with the high school basketball coach across the state each week. We welcome Auburn coach Ryan Hansen, whose Trojans play Federal Way for the fifth seed out of the District 3-4 tournament Friday night. And then Battleground coach Manny Mello, whose Tigers have seen two overtime wins in the last week to surge into the District 3-4 championship game Saturday. So stick around for those interviews, which are timestamped in the show notes if you want to jump straight to them. But first, the WIAA 3A-4A basketball championships will not be televised for the first time in decades, as first reported by Scorebook Live Washington. It's another step in regional broadcaster Root Sports moving away from the high school broadcast market, and perhaps a signal as to where like the future of live sports across the country is headed. Instead, all state championship games will be streamed on the NFHS network. It's a subscription service. Root cited budget restraints and the fact that it loses money on the cost of production and televising these games. If you guys remember in the fall, when the WIA's Gridiron Classic went outside, Root only televised the 2A and 3A games due to production. So, Todd, your reporting on this story revealed specifics on the history of the game, which are fascinating and go back decades. On a scale of 1 to 10, before you kind of dive into the history, how much do you enjoy sharing a byline with yours truly?
Oh, it's a 10. It's a highlight of my career.
You talked to Cindy Atzett at the WIA about just some of the history behind when this game was first televised. Do you want to go into kind of where it's been televised year in and year out? Because it's pretty much always been on TV since 1981.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. It's almost 40 years that people in the market, people in the greater Seattle-Tacoma area, I'm sure in Vancouver, you probably remember this as a kid, Dan. You could get it on cable. It's been that long where you could turn on the TV and watch, you know, the top teams at 4A and 3A. And if you lived in different parts of the state, you could probably get it in Spokane and in the Yakima area too. So the early 80s, Como televised the very first state championship game. Was arguably the most controversial ending of a state championship game in WIA history, and that was the Mercer Island Chatel Park game. It's the game that Ed Pepple still won't talk about and still won't acknowledge. He counts it as part of his collection of state championships, and that was and what a heck of a debut for TV or televised state basketball. And so that's kind of the trend it took. It was aired on Como and local TV kind of, you know, volleyed it a little bit until what we know as Prime Sports picked it up in the early 90s and through all the the different versions of that, and now we're at Root since 2010. So you add up all the years and it's pretty much been on TV for almost 40 years. That's a very, very long time to televise state basketball.
Well, I think for me as a former player in the state, growing up, I looked forward to going to the state tournament and then recording the game and then going back and watching those title games and just kind of breaking things down. And you know, the fact is that now they're not doing it. I think it's very disappointing, but it's eye-opening, and it continues to show people where coverage of high school sports is going. Things are changing. Things have changed, and they're going to continue to change in a very fast manner. And I think that's one thing that Scorebook Live has always kind of been, with the guidance of our CEO, Dan Beach, has always been at the forefront of, hey, what's next and where are our opportunities? Started with the live scoring apps for basketball and football, and then kind of has expanded to, you know, everything on scores, schedules, stats, rosters, to, you know, what we are all a part of, and that's the plus side, covering it like journalists, because local newspapers are getting out of it. It was only a matter of time before TVs would get out of it. And so as disappointing as it is, it's not surprising.
No, and let me you know, we talked about, and you can get into this, you've talked to both sides, Andy, but, you know, one source close to the situation, for people to kind of put a numerical value on this, a source close to the situation told me to televise those four games from a production standpoint, it costs roughly $20,000 for four games. So that's the amount of money, it sounds like, that Root had been eating pretty much up until this year when they decided not to televise it. And Andy, you can kind of get into some of your conversations you've had with both sides.
Yeah, I talked to Mark Jorgensen, the GM of Root Sports, which is a regional sports broadcast company that covers five states. And so, like, to put this into perspective, by covering the Washington High School sports, high school championships, whether it's football or basketball, they're broadcasting that to five states, while only one state might really care about that game. And so this is the way that it was described to me in the fall during the conversation leading up to televising the football championships is, you know, high school sports is a community outreach. There's no rating. The ratings are non-existent. And so Jorgensen told me, he said, you know, if you look across the country, Washington is one of the really the last places that does broadcast television or cable television of games. You know, Texas, of high school games, I should say. Texas is a unique example. I reached out to a reporter who covers high school sports in Texas yesterday, and I think Fox Sports South still televises a lot of high school games, whether it be, you know, basketball, football. But Texas, according to Jorgensen, is kind of an anomaly there. And so, you know, the idea here is that it's not like if you're sitting at home, you won't be able to watch these games. You can pay for streaming, just like you would pay for Netflix or Amazon Prime. But this is a high school sports specific streaming site. I'm sure they'll have a one-time fee. I haven't confirmed that, you know, for the state championship games. The production value is significantly lower and doesn't, you know, meet the same bar that, you know, being on a Root Sports or, you know, local TV, would. But, you know, this is the end to a long relationship. And just to get back to something, to that game you were mentioning, Todd, earlier, I did a very cursory Google search of that 1981 state championship game between Shadle Park and Mercer Island. There's a fun Bleacher Report story from 2009 on that game. Do you want to guess who was playing for Shadle Park at that time, who played in that game?
Mark Griffin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark Griffin.
How about that?
To this day, it is his most interesting sports moment, he's told
really?
Me. Just in how everything went down, yes.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. So, you know, how does this impact, you know, streaming WI events going forward? Jorgensen at Root Sports was very clear to say that, you know, the relationship between Root and the WIA, it's not a closed door. You know, they're going to take it case by case. And he was just kind of like they did during the football season of saying, you know, is this something we can pull off with the football, the Gridiron Classic moving from the Dome to those three sites? I'm sure they'll take another look throughout the football season. You know, nothing's set in stone, but the door isn't closed. So, you know, I don't mean to overreact to something like this, being, you know, kind of an end all be all of like, you know, this is games will never, ever be televised again. High school sports games, that's something that we just don't know the answer to at this point. But does it signal, you know, a changing landscape in broadcasting high school sports? Yeah, yeah, it certainly does. So scorebooklive.com/Washington is where you're going to find that full story with details and interviews, quotes there. Do you guys feel like we touched enough on this issue? Is there anything else that we might not have mentioned that we haven't gone into yet?
No, I think, you know, the one thing, though, to be mindful of is there are, you know, different entities, like, for example, on the east side of the state, SWX, which is the weather and sports station in eastern Washington, is owned by KHQ-TV in Spokane. They will, as far as everything I know, they will continue to hold, broadcast the games on the State B at the state of Washington. That's been something they've done for a number of years, but their footprint of who it gets broadcast to is nowhere near the footprint of Root, who would obviously, you know, take the higher classifications.
Yeah, that's a great and important point. Thanks for bringing that up, Dan. So those games, you know, will be on local TV. Mick Hoffman, the executive director of the WIA, he told me that they have reached out to local stations in each of the markets where the Hardwood Classic is being played to see if there would be any interest, and they hadn't gotten an indication that that would happen. But the door, I mean, they hadn't really heard anything. So just to keep an eye on that, we'll continue to update on this podcast, but certainly a developing story and a something that I'm sure we'll talk about the week leading up to state as people start to wonder where they can watch these games. All of those are going to be on the NFHS network. So, more present of mind, MAC Classic takes place this weekend. Tomorrow, as we're recording this on Thursday, Todd, you dove headfirst into the state of high school wrestling, the top storylines, wrestlers going into the weekend. Wrote some great stories up on scorebooklive.com/Washington that are really good primers on kind of what to expect, what to watch for at an event that, you know, continues to truck forward as just a behemoth of a state championship weekend. What are you most looking forward to this weekend? And are there any one of those storylines that you think is worth maybe mentioning quickly on this podcast?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to how the new format plays out. You know, in the past, the morning session, you know, they've included all six classifications, including the girls, at one time to get their first round matchups and some of their consolation matchups done. Take a break. You come back in the afternoon, early evening, you wrestle your quarterfinal match and you go home. This year, they've kind of split it up. So if you're in that morning, if you're a 4A, 1A, or B wrestler, you're going to be wrestling both your matches in that first session, and that's between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And then you get to go home, or you get to take the rest of the day off in the hotel room. You can come back and watch the evening session who are the other ones? Oh, the 3As, 2As, and the girls wrestle from 4:30 to 8:30 on Friday. And they'll wrestle their two matches and get, you know, so it's going to be interesting. I like how they're breaking it up by classification this year. And then Saturday, they'll come back and they'll have an all-classification long session on Saturday where they get the semifinals, take a break, and then, you know, 5:30. I'll tell you, it's championship night in state wrestling in the Tacoma Dome is easily the best atmosphere for a WI event I've ever seen in the Tacoma Dome. It's electric. You can feel the tension. You have, you know, matches going on six different mats. The Tacoma Dome pounds. It's like a rock concert. It really is. I mean, wrestling fans are as loyal and rabid as you're going to find in any sport the WI sanctions. And I say again, championship Saturday night is something that I've experienced for a long time in my career at the Tribune, and I'm looking forward to getting back there on Saturday night. Not any four-timers that are going to be crowned this year, the first time in more than a decade where we're going to not see a wrestler go for a fourth state championship, which has its own tension in its own right, but still a lot of good wrestling in the team championship race, and then obviously, you know, 14 wrestlers will be crowned state champions in each classification on Saturday night. It's a fun weekend in the Tacoma Dome.
He's at Many Hats Millis on Twitter, where you can follow along with live updates. And Todd, I'm looking forward to you really documenting that championship atmosphere you just mentioned. We're at SB Live WA on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, across platforms. And as always, scorebooklive.com/Washington is your home for Washington High School sports coverage. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Battleground Boys coach Manny Millo and Auburn Boys basketball coach Ryan Hansen. Stick with us.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Follow along with the most impactful high school sports stories across the state of Washington on Scorebook Live Washington's statewide website. It covers high school athletics across all corners of the state. We've started a newsletter to make it easier than ever to read. From news, features, weekly rankings, podcasts, highlights, interviews, and more, head to www.scorebooklive.com/Washington on your desktop, mobile device, tablet. Scroll to the right side of your homepage and subscribe by entering your email address to our 3 times a week newsletter. That way you'll get the day's top headlines to your inbox at no charge at all. Scorebooklive.com/Washington.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live Washington, here with Auburn head coach Ryan Hansen, his 18th season at the helm. He's had a pretty darn successful season this year, built on a lot of young players, freshmen and sophomores, who really kind of, you know, exceeded expectations early and continue to really thrive in his program. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
For sure. So, you know, when I take a look around the state, I see, you know, different pockets at different levels being very, very good. When I look at your guys' league at the 4A level, I think of your league and I think of the GSHL being kind of the best two leagues in the state, but yours might have the most balance in the entire league. Kind of what some coaches have told me, it's almost like anybody can beat another team on any day. How do you see your league?
Yeah, I mean, our league's, you know, it's deep. We've had a ton of great players that have come out of this area, and you know, you just can't sleep on anybody. You got to be ready to play hard and play your best, no matter who you're playing on any given night. So, you know, I think it's kind of been that way for a long time, and this year was no different.
I mentioned some of the young freshmen that you have. Is that something that you saw coming from a youth program, or just knowing kind of the kids that were in your program's area coming up, and just how quickly did they get acclimated to varsity level basketball?
Yeah, you know, we do run a youth program here, and you know, all of our kids that are on our team now grew up in our youth program. And, you know, we knew early on with our sophomore junior group that they were going to be really special all the way back to when they were in third and fourth grade. They just kind of had it, you know, they had a high basketball IQ at that age. And so we knew that we were in for something special, and I didn't know that it would come to fruition this quickly. You know, many of our sophomores last year, we had 5 freshmen, and they played a ton of minutes for us last year and got a lot of experience and got a taste of the district tournament. And, you know, this year they matured, they got a little bigger, they all grew a couple inches, got a little stronger. And so, you know, I'm not surprised by the success that we're having and the way that they've handled themselves.
You guys have had tremendous success. Last night, you beat Olympia in a playoff game. You've got the state tournament right around the corner. What do you see as in this next, you know, week stretch, an area that you can really improve upon to be playing your best basketball?
Well, I think it's important for us to stay healthy, and that's something, you know, we probably only played about 8 or 9 games all season with our full squad. We've had a lot of kids with different injuries that have had to miss games. And so I think it's really important for us down the stretch if we can stay healthy. And, you know, that's something that's a little bit out of our control, so we got to get a little lucky. But, you know, when we have a lot of pieces, I think we're really good, and I think we can play with anybody that's out there. You know, obviously basketball is a make or miss sport, so you gotta hit some shots along the way, and we've been fortunate enough to do that.
You take a look across the state, as I'm sure most coaches do. You kind of keep a small look at what's going on, and then as the playoffs get closer and closer and closer, you probably get out to some games and scout. You do some huddle trading of film. You really start picking the brains of some other coaches and people that you trust that have seen other teams. Obviously, Union undefeated. They've played extremely well all year. Are there any other teams across the state at the 4A level that you think are peaking at the right time of year?
Yeah. Well, I have nothing but the most respect for the teams over on the east side of the mountains. They're always tough. They always had a great showing at the state tournament. And, you know, Central Valley is a bunch of tough kids that play really hard. And obviously, I think Gonzaga Prep's kind of making a push towards the end. They kind of had a slow start at the end of the year, but they just keep climbing in the RPI, and they're in the championship over there. And nothing but respect for Addie McIntyre and what he does with that program.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate you coming on the podcast with us today. I appreciate you being a part of our coaches' poll throughout the season. And best of luck as the season winds down. It's hard to believe there's only about 2 weeks left.
Yeah, we don't want it to end. So we're excited for these last couple weeks, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks again, and best of luck.
All right, thanks.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, with Battleground Tiger head coach Manny Mello, looking to get the Tigers back in the state tournament again after breaking that drought a season ago where it was 17 years broken. It was a heck of a feat last year. They look as if they're on the doorstep of doing it once again. Manny, thanks for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So you guys, and this is coach speak, everybody wants to be peaking at the right time of the year, playing their best basketball. When I talk to others around the state, they keep mentioning Battleground is doing just that. You guys had a difficult non-conference stretch, including the Les Schwab Invitational over the Christmas break. You took some lumps, but you guys are back playing extremely good basketball. What do you credit that to?
I just credit to the guys just continuing to work hard and believe in themselves and me and the coaching staff. And, I mean, yeah, you look at our schedule. We played, according to the RPI, we played the hardest schedule in the state. Some of that's due to the non-conference stuff that we scheduled. Some of it's due to just our league being really difficult. And these guys just are believing, and they're just playing really hard right now. So it's paying off for them. And, yeah, we're real close to getting where we want to be.
A season ago, you guys broke that state tournament drought. There was a celebration. You broke your arm, I believe. I saw on video this year, after a big win in the playoffs, you wanted no part of the celebration scrum. Is that correct?
I mean, yeah. It's always in the back of my mind now, obviously. But just a freak thing, obviously, that happened last year. And you know, I wouldn't still want to change it for anything. It was a really cool moment that we had as a team, and you know, continuing to win big games at the buzzer, it's always going to bring some type of celebration. But yeah, back of my mind, I'm still a little cautious. So.
Well, sorry to bring that back up, but I thought it was worth noting. You're going to have your own celebrations as the season continues on.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the 4A GSHL. Media day this fall, we talked about it, how it could have a chance to be very good again, and Union's proven to be as good, if not better, than last year. 23-0 now in the midst of the playoffs. Skyview and you guys seem to be peaking at the right time of the year, but it just continues to be an impressive league. How difficult is your league?
Yeah, extremely difficult. I kept telling everyone kept asking me, who's the best team, and I was like, hey, it's Union. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, man, I've seen them this summer. They're really good. And, you know, going into the winter season, obviously, they haven't lost a game yet. They've played a really hard schedule as well. It's not like their schedule's been soft. and Skyview just has dudes as well, and everyone just is playing really hard. We have good basketball players down here, and you know, sometimes they don't get maybe the full recognition that they deserve, but just really good coaching, really good players. The programs are great, and it's just tough. It's tough to get a win just on a nightly basis in our league.
You mentioned clicking on all cylinders these last few weeks. Everybody knows Caden Perry's committed to Gonzaga. He's continuing to grow. But before we started recording, you mentioned Brendan Beal and Nate Millspaugh as being very consistent pieces for you guys. How much do you rely upon them to get you guys ready to go?
Yeah, we've worked a lot in practice just the last couple of weeks. Just with their growth as basketball players, they're not going to get any easy looks now here out, you know, moving into the playoffs deep in this deep run. So we're just doing a lot of skill development with them, player development with, you know, trying to create their own shot, you know, either off the dribble or just trying to put themselves in the right spot. And they're working really hard at it. Last night, Brendan Beal hit, I believe, three or four threes for us in big moments that were real tough shots. Nate had another one. Nate also hit a couple other just real tough shots that, I mean, we've been, same shots we've been doing in practice. So they're just transitioning everything we're doing into games. And I mean, they're big time scorers. I believe they had the exact amount of points scored throughout the season going into the playoffs. And they were both averaging right around 12, 13 points a game. So for us to like be competitive, both of them have to really bring it every night for us.
That's impressive that you got, I hate to say it at the high school level, but a second and a third option that are almost identical in their production and their consistency. But, you know, for lack of a better term, the guy that everybody pays attention to, the go-to guy for you guys, is Caden Perry Jr., committed to Gonzaga, continues to improve. Where has his biggest improvement occurred this season?
Defensively, just his presence, being aware of what's going on the court. I think his IQ has gone up a lot on that standpoint. And then just rebounding, too. He's just working really hard to try to get as many rebounds as possible. He broke the 20-game single-season record at Battleground that had been a pretty old record. Broke it for rebounds this year. He was averaging, you know, near 24 points, near 18 rebounds a game, and almost four blocks a game throughout the season. And this is the guy who's getting double and triple teamed on literally every single play. He might be one of the only guys in the state that gets played like that. And to put up huge numbers like that every single night, or I mean, it's just crazy. And he had another big night for us last night as well. So he's just working really hard. He never comes out of the game, never complains, and his motor is just unbelievable.
I love hearing about GSHL teams competing at the state tournament because I'm from there, obviously. I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck. We'll have a full contingent at all the locations for the state tournament and hope to connect in Tacoma in a few weeks. So thanks for the time and best of luck, Manny.
Hey, absolutely, Dan. Thanks for having me and look forward to, you know, hopefully playing in the Dome this year.